Praise you, Jesus. We're on our series on hands-on ministry. And tonight I want to talk about how to function in the gifts of the Spirit. Should have made an announcement about this one probably. But you're here because you're hungry for the things of God. And God wants that He's hungry for you to move out in these giftings. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's set the groundwork here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start reading at verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. How many know there's no contentions in here? No contentions allowed in here. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And Paul goes on talking about how there was division in the church. There were contentions, there was strife. Go over to chapter 3. Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. How many know milk is the simple things, the basic things of Christianity? Meat are the deep things. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For you are yet carnal, natural, fleshly, meatheads. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal to walk as men? He goes on talking about some Sam of Paul and Apollos and so on. The Corinthian church, as far as their spiritual maturity, was in near baby state. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Paul considered them still babes in Christ because he had not dealt with some of the strife things in the church, some of the disagreements, some of the basics they should have had under control as far as their government and their interactions. But go to chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul sets forth a discussion about the different gifts that operate in the body of Christ. We're going to look at the spiritual gifts tonight. But he starts talking, if we read through the whole chapter, we find that he's talking about how everybody's got a tongue, everybody's got a prophecy, there was one speaking over another. And the point I want to make starting out tonight is even though the Corinthian church was considered by Paul to be a baby church, they were still functioning in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm of the belief, personally, that the New Testament, end-time church should be functioning in all the gifts of the Spirit. They were given to us to perfect us. They were given to us to edify one another. We should be operating in them. A lot of people don't operate in them because they've not been exposed to them. They've not been in churches long enough they were in operation. Or they've been afraid of them or not known how just to step into it. And this teaching tonight, I want to talk about how to step into these giftings. Amen. We're going to start off talking, though, a little bit about each one and the separations between the three. So go to chapter 12. Let's start at verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, these spiritual gifts are given for each of us as profit. I want God to edify me. How about you? So I want these gifts in operation around me. I don't want to run from them. I want to embrace them. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And these all worketh that one selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now go down to verse number 31. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. Now the more excellent way is to walk in love. That's the top thing you can walk in with God. But he says to covet the gifts. If you want to function in the gifts of the Spirit, you've got to desire them. You have not because you ask not. You should be asking God to function in the gifts. Well, I just really don't want to be seen. Do you want to be used? Because if you're going to be used by God, you will be seen by others. The supernatural attracts attention. And you've got to be willing to say, God, let me function in these gifts. And he says, cover the best. What are the best? Well, probably the ones needed at the moment. But if we were to take a poll of what people think are the best gifts, we might all have different answers. Well, up to 9 answers anyway. Amen? What do you think the best gift is? Well, ask God for the one you want to operate in. Ask Him for the multiple ones you want to operate in. I've asked for all 9. I ask Him for all 9 quite frequently. God, I want to function in those gifts. Amen? Well, you just function because you're a pastor. I was operating in the gifts before I was ever in ministry. Amen. You've got to pursue them. Now, he names 9 gifts, and normally we break the 9 gifts into 3 categories of 3 apiece. So let me write these up here. Because we're gonna spend a little bit of time breaking these down before we get into the how-tos. First, there are the utterance gifts. Not a G. I was jumping ahead to gifts. Utterance gifts. The utterance gifts are prophecy. In other words, you're uttering, you're declaring a prophecy. The other one is to give forth a message in tongues. And the third one is interpretation of tongues. You guys ready for this tonight? How many want to function in the gifts? The second set of gifts are the revelation gifts. Has anybody in here never seen this breakdown before? I'm just curious. Okay, so the revelation gifts. To one is given a word of wisdom. God gives you supernatural wisdom. We'll talk about that in a minute. The other one is word of knowledge. What do you think the third one is? Discerning of spirits. Then there are 3 power gifts. Now we should be able to figure out what those 3 are, right? Gifts of healing, miracles, and the gift of faith. When you read books about the gifts, they usually break them down into these 3 categories. 3 for utterance, 3 that involve revelation, and 3 that involve manifestation of the anointing to produce something supernatural that involves power. Amen. But I want to show you really how Paul breaks them down because it's a little bit different. But to do so, we need to look at the Greek. Because the King James Bible really doesn't do a very good job of differentiating between these 2. So, Rebecca, if you would go on Bible Hub, just type there up there, type in 1 Corinthians 12:8. Hit enter. It's one of my favorite websites. If you don't use Bible Hub, you need to put Bible Hub in your shortcuts. This thing is one of those powerful tools out there for studying the Word. Now, Go back to the top. Don't scroll down. See where it says Greek? Keep going right there. Click on that. What this does, we've gone to the verse that starts off this passage about the different giftings. To one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Do you follow me on this? When you click on Greek in Bible Hub, it brings up the Greek words. Now, you can't probably read them from there. If you have your device out, you could read them. But it actually, what it does, it's got columns. It gives the Strong's number. It gives the transliteration of that Greek word, the actual Greek writing of the word, what the word is interpreted in English, and then what type of word it is. So what we can do in this is we can see what actually the different words in the Greek are as we read the word. What I want you to see here is there are a couple words we're going to break this down by. It is, if we read it according to the actual flow of the wording, it says, to one truly indeed in the Spirit is given a word of wisdom, to another moreover a word of knowledge. All right, see the word. You probably can't see, but I'm going to read it to you. Don't move. Up here it says, to another. To one is given a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge. That word, to another, in the Greek is the word allos, A-L-L-O-S. And what allos means, it means another of the same kind. Do you follow me? Like we have here a Chihuahua dog tonight. If another dog came that was a Jack Russell, you would say that's another of the same kind. It's still a dog. Right? So I'm gonna rewrite these and look at how Paul splits these out. He says, to one is given word of wisdom. To another, allos of the same kind is given the word of knowledge. Now we're gonna get into this a little bit tonight. It's not going to be difficult, but please don't get bored with me. Don't go to sleep. In other words, Paul says the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are the same kind. And really they are. They both function so closely together when you're operating in them, sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference. Do you follow me? Then, let's scroll on down. Go on up. See where that arrow is right here? Click on that, it'll go to verse 9. Now we're going to read the Greek for the next set of gifts. So now it says, oops, go back to the top so I can see it right there. And then it says, I need to read it in the King James so I know what I'm reading to cover. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. See the word to another there? That word another there is not allos. It's heteros. Where do we use the word heteros at in our English language? Heterosexual? Heteros means another of a different kind. Right? So, if you had Robert and I, you would say we were allos, we're two of the same kind. But when Patty or Betty come in, now we have others of a different kind. Do you follow me? So where before another was allos, the same kind, now we go to another kind, a different type of gift. So now he says of another kind, he groups this okay with you? To another faith. Then he goes on and he says, to another, I know you can't see it, but access to another aloe. What's aloe mean? Same kind. To another aloes, gifts of healing. So he says, gifts of healings are like faith. Now, down here, they're grouped together anyway as power gifts, right? So he says there's another gift. We're just going to write healing up here. It's of the same type. Then he says, now, go on. I think that's all of it, right? Go on down the bottom. Yeah. Now, go to the next one. Verse 10. To another, aloe, working of miracles. Aloe is the same kind. So now we go over here and we find out in this grouping, we also have miracles. To another, aloe of the same kind, prophecy. Isn't it fun to see what it really said in the originally? To another, aloe, discerning of spirits of the same kind. See, all these people that are walking around saying they have the gift of discernment, they should be operating as much in healing and miracles as they are in discernment. Really, they have the gift of suspicion. They're able to just look at situations and say, I don't trust them. I have discernment. That is not the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is supernatural. You know the Spirit's operating behind them. Now watch this. And to a different one, to another, actually in the King James, hetero. Now he breaks to another group, another kind of group. To that group, he says, various kinds of tongues, and to another of the same type, interpretation of tongues. Here's how Paul breaks down the gifts. And the truth is, if you function into these gifts before, and I've operated in all of them at times, this actually is more close how they function. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are very similar to how they operate. All of these are usually involving a much higher level of anointing when you operate in those. Usually it's because you've been overfilled or the gifts have been imparted to your life at a higher level. And these two are totally different to function. And actually, to me, these two may require more faith to function in than the others. Because these are publicly done. Amen? These often are private or with an individual. These are usually publicly done. And so that's Paul's breakdown. But there's even another breakdown. You want to see that? Back up to verse 8 again. See, in the King James, they bundle so many words together as the same in their interpretation. How many know love in the King James sometimes is charity, sometimes love, sometimes they've taken philia and called it love and called agape love. You never know which word is which. They've done that in this passage as well. So in this case, it says, to one it truly indeed in the Spirit is given in the Spirit. See, you probably can't see it, but it says in the Spirit. Let me read the word it has in the King James. Probably easier for us. I'll just go to there. For to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. See the word by the Spirit? By. In the King James, that is the word dia, D-I-A. And it means through or along with, by. In other words, that gift is given as the Spirit moves upon you. Then it says to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Kata. That's the word, that word by there is kata. And kata means, click on the word kata. Watch what this does. That's why I love this program. There we have areas the word kata appears and how it's interpreted. But go on up again. See that word summary? Click on it. Now we have the actual meaning of that word. So here it says, kata is a preposition, and it means down from, against, according to, throughout, during, by. So one is through, one is by. But go on over to verse number 8. I'm verse number 9. I'm sorry. Well, you go back to where you were. Yeah, go there. Yeah. Verse 9. It says, to another faith by the same Spirit. See the word by there? We have three straight bys. Guess what? That word by is a different word. This word en, it means in. And if we go on down through here, down in verse 9, it says, healing by the same Spirit. That's the word en. And then that word by doesn't appear again. Some of these verses are through the Spirit. Some of these verses are by the Spirit. And some of these gifts are through the Spirit. Some of the gifts are by the Spirit. And some of the gifts are in the Spirit. When I mention these five over here being ones that require a higher level of anointing, usually functioning these, you will move further into the Spirit to operate in these. You know, when I'm operating in the gifts of healing or working of miracles or operating in faith, that usually I'll say the anointing has dropped heavily. You know, sometimes you feel like you can't hardly stand up. And that's when you're going to see miracles really manifest. You're going to see major healings take place. You're going to see supernatural faith arise while you're in the Spirit. So as we go through talking about each of these individually, we're going to see whether it's the same kind as, whether we're in the Spirit or whether it's by the Spirit or through the Spirit. You follow the difference here? And it's going to help us know how to step into them. Amen. So now let's go through these giftings. Back up to verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit, really through, the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom, the Bible lets us know in Proverbs that wisdom is the principal thing. It's interesting, wisdom is the principal thing, and it's the first in this list of gifts. Wisdom is knowing what to do at any moment in time. Cooperation of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you where I see this gift operate in me frequently. I am not a professional counselor. I'm not a professional marriage counselor, but I've done a lot of counseling. And I'll have people come in and I know their life is a wreck. I may know that their marriage is shot, their kids are out there, whatever. And they'll come in and I'll say, first thing we're going to do is we're going to pray. And we will pray because I need God. I'm praying, God, I will say it, God, give me wisdom. They will begin to tell their story, and as they're telling it, I'm going like, I have no idea what to do. You know, my thought is, you just need to quit. Just go home and quit. You know, hey, it's over. Some of the stories I've heard, you know. I don't blame you for hating me. Maybe you ought to shoot him. That's just in the natural, you feel that way. But as you're praying, because when they're speaking, I'm praying under my breath, O Rabba Sandabashi, Father, give me wisdom. And almost without exception, the Spirit of God will come on me and I will know their answer. And it wasn't because of my great experience. It wasn't because of my great knowledge. I know the Holy Spirit just came in and gave them the word they need to hear. Do you follow me? Oh, is that a word of wisdom? Other times, and if you'll do this, it will work. If you're going to work on something and it could be challenging, even if it's not, pray God give you wisdom. Pray God give you the wisdom to do it. It's amazing. All of a sudden, you'll realize there's a shortcut. I could do it this way. We put those ice cream compressors in. Mike and I did. And I tell you what, I prayed for wisdom ahead of time. And we were surprised ourselves the two things worked when we were done. Amen. That was a big job. But guess what? God had a shortcut there every step of the way. You want to hear another aspect of that miracle? Do you guys remember Bob Paxton? Misty? Her mother passed away here earlier. She's been up in Michigan a lot. He's actually taken a job. They're sending him down to Mobile. I haven't heard from him for about a year. And he had taken our church projector from this youth room home to mount it. And I'd called him and says, I really need the projector months ago. I hadn't talked to him in months. I mean, maybe 6 months. And I'd already scheduled to come and work on that ice cream machine on Friday. I had set my tools out the night before so I wouldn't forget them, which ones I needed to bring in. Friday morning, I get a text from Bob Paxton. Are you home? And he said, I want to return your projector. Basically. I said, I am. Come on over. And when he gets there, you know, he apologized for having the projector so long, and I wasn't concerned about that. More concerned about him. And if you don't know this, Bob's past job was air conditioning and refrigeration repair. I said, by the way, Bob, I have a question. We're about to put some compressors into this system. Here's what I got. Will this work? He says, yeah, that will all work, but you really need these tools. These will work better. I'll bring them by the church. Now get this. Hadn't heard from him from a year. At least he hadn't been here in a year. Hadn't heard from him in 6 months. The day I'm going to do this special job, God has him get a hold of me, has the exact tools we need. And Michael, tell you, we couldn't have done it without those tools, at least not done it as well. I think we'd have got it. We just wouldn't have captured all of that. But his let us do it with precision, exactly right. Exactly. That was God. That call was the Spirit of God moving on him to say, Pastor Jackson is going to need those tools, call him. And he says, I'm not doing air conditioning anymore. Take them and use them. I don't need them right now. So he left the tools with us to do the job. What's that God given you? Divine appointment. And God will give you when you're doing a job, wisdom to do it if you'll pray. And you'll know it's God because here's how the gift functions. It was not something you were trying to figure out. It's not something you were trying to calculate. All of a sudden, a thought came from like seemingly nowhere that gave you wisdom of a shortcut or what you needed to do to get past a blockage. Now, learn to use it in ministry. Learn to use it in your daily walk with God. Amen? Wisdom is the principal thing. Call upon that gift. So what you do to access it is pray, God, give me wisdom, and then be open for Him to speak to you. He'll even interrupt your day and say, don't do this or don't do that, do this or that. Because He wants you functioning in this gift so much. Now it says, to another of the same kind, allos of the same kind, is the word of knowledge. Now wisdom is knowing what to do. Wisdom is the possessing of information you had no way of knowing of yourself. Or you didn't go pursue an access of yourself. Now, normally we think of the word of knowledge as we see it a lot in a church service where the person ministering will say, God, you showed me this is going on in your life. Many of you have been up here and had Pastor Nancy pray for you, and she said, you've gone through this and this and this. What was that, a word of knowledge? That's that gift in operation. So the word of knowledge is knowing something that's taken place, something somebody's gone through, possession of information that you didn't get through study or through somebody telling you. It came through divine interaction. Amen. And again, you don't have to be in a church service to experience this. you know, you can't find something. And you pray, God, you know where everything is. Show me where this is. And all of a sudden, boom, you'll see an image of it. Now, that could be just recollection, but sometimes it's the Spirit of God intervening, showing you things. Amen. Or maybe you didn't put it somewhere. Maybe somebody else put it somewhere and you saw it someplace in the Spirit. You know, in your mind's eye, you saw it. You knew right where to go to get that. That's word of knowledge. And word of knowledge is one of the most frequent gifts operated in the body of Christ. Elaine Homer, very strong in the word of knowledge. She'll say, you've got this medical condition in your body. God, show me inside of you. There's this organ's been attacked, or this is out of place, or this bone needs work. Well, it's a word of knowledge. And then she'll say, and now God's healing it. What is that? That's a word of knowledge combined with gifts of healing or working of miracles. So for you to function in it, again, pray to ask God to give it to you, and then be open to hear. Amen. Again, this is one of the most counterfeited gifts out there. It's hard to counterfeit working miracles. Either the leg grows out or it doesn't. You follow me? Either the organ's recreated or the cancer's gone or it's not. But the word of knowledge is one of the most counterfeited gifts. People will know something about your past and want to decree it to you. They've heard a few things, you know. They've heard that maybe you've gone through a hard time, and they'll say, the Lord shows me you've really been under pressure lately, you know, that you've been really experiencing some anxiety. And well, if you heard they were going through some battles, that wasn't a word of knowledge. That was a word of you trying to act like you had a gift. And you have to combat. You have to combat trying to mix the gifts with what you already know and act like it's a gift. If somebody you heard was going through a problem, you know, going through a challenge, just go up and say, hey, I heard you're going through a challenge. Can I pray with you? Don't say, oh, the Lord has shown me that you're fighting. You are actually, how can I say this? Trying to counterfeit a gift, and it can stand in your way to really function in the real thing. Do you see that? And so refuse to use, because that is very closely aligned with the gift of suspicion, which is counterfeit for discernment. Usually people that function in the false gift of discernment also function in the false word of knowledge and think they're spiritual because they're guessing with some level of knowledge. We call it the gift of former knowledge. Amen. You knew something, you knew a piece, and you guessed at the rest. You know, somebody walks into church and they're like this. And you go, God showed me you've got problems in your back. That wasn't God. That was eyesight. So you've got to be careful with that. Amen. And usually people that try to counterfeit those want to catch people out in the parking lot and then become parking lot prophets. Seek the real gift. I don't want to tamper with the counterfeit because I don't want anything to get in the way of the real thing manifesting. And you got to protect that as well. Amen? So the third utterance gift in our utterance gifts is prophecy. Now wisdom is knowing what to do, right? Even what to say, what to tell somebody. Knowledge isn't knowing information that you shouldn't know of yourself or you had no way of knowing. Let me back up a minute and say something. Many people that function in the gifts of word of knowledge and word of wisdom, they don't want to talk to the pastor. If they come to a service, they don't want to hear anything from the pastor about the state of their people. Let me state that more clearly. A lot of times if I got a Bobby Jean come in, or I've got, trying to think of somebody else, prophetic come in, Elaine, she don't want to interview me about what's going on in your church. Because she don't want anything to actually get in the way of her hearing God and knowing by the Spirit what's going on. Do you follow me? So afterwards I'll say, you know, Bobby Jean, you hit that and that and that right on. Or Elaine, you hit that and that was exact. And they're going, praise God for the gift. They don't want anybody suspecting they're hearing stuff and then trying to prophesy it or decree it. Have I told you a story about Fritz before? Fritz, who is he working for? Jesse Duplantis. Jesse, you guys know who Jesse is, right? Jesse had a guy that God told him to hire named Fritz. Told him to train him up. And Fritz was an accident looking for a place to happen. You've heard that before. And Fritz was always messing up, and God said, don't fire him. Just train him. He'll be valuable. Well, later Fritz became very valuable to Jesse, and I guess probably still is one of his top people. But he has some training to do. And one time Fritz had been sent to pick up a special guest speaker from the airport. I don't know if it was Kenneth Hagin or somebody, to come to Jesse's church. And on the way, and this is a very well-known man of God he's picking up. I don't remember whose name it was. And on the way, Fritz says, sir, the Lord just showed me that you've had pain in your leg and God's healing your leg right now. He said, no, I've not had any pain in my leg. Fritz says, no, sir, God showed me clearly. There's a burning in your leg right now. God's healing your leg. He says, no, Fritz, there's no pain in my leg. I'm fine. About that time, Fritz slams on the brake, jumps out of the car, is hopping around, and empties his pocket. And Fritz had put a 9-volt battery in his pocket, and it touched a dime or a penny and lit up his leg. It heated up, and he thought he was getting a word of knowledge about the special speaker. So at least he has something to go on. He wasn't trying to make it up. He really thought it was that. You just got to be careful that it's really the gift. Amen. As a pastor, his top two gifts he'll function are probably going to be words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Because he's shepherd watching over the sheep, God's going to show him what's going on in the lives of his people and what he can refer to them to do. Do you follow me on that? Now, prophecy, again, wisdom is knowing what to do. Knowledge is knowing information. Prophecy is declaring what's going to happen. Now, when we talk about prophecy, we're going to talk about two different aspects of prophecy. One is the decreeing by faith what you want to happen. Do you follow me? I mean, we've learned to prophesy over our own lives. I'm debt-free, I live in abundance, and I'm pain-free. Now, was that a word from God? No, that's a word from the Word. You have a right to do that. You're decreeing the Word over your life. That's not prophecy as far as the gift of the Spirit. That's prophetically declaring the Word over your life. I'm not talking about declaring the Word over your life. Prophecy is declaring what's going to happen in your life or somebody else's life by knowledge given by the Spirit. Not even just somebody's life, in any situation. That you have future knowledge, even wisdom, that, of course, we have no way of knowing that, right? In most cases, you have words of prophecy of knowing what's going to happen. That's prophetic. And you should be expecting that in your life as well. And really, if you're seeking God, you'll see it start to happen in subtle ways. Here's how I'd identify that gift of prophecy working in your life. You spend all day in the Word, or maybe a few hours, you've been seeking God the day, and you come to church and the pastor goes to the same passage. Preaches the same message. What's happening? You're starting to tap in. It's been now 25 years ago because I was still teaching my Bible study. We just started Grace Fellowship. And Pastor Callan got up on a Wednesday and he taught a message on the covenant of peace. Now, how many have heard me preach on covenant of peace before? A few of you, because I haven't preached on it in a long time. He preached on covenant of peace. I went up to him after service and said, Pastor Callan, I just taught that exact same topic in my Bible study Monday night, two nights earlier. He's going, that's wild. Then Pastor Lee steps up and he comes forward and says, Pastor, I just taught that exact same message, covenant of peace, in my Bible study last night on Tuesday night. All three of us taught the same message without interacting with each other at all. Not having heard it recently by anybody, we all three taught the same message three straight nights. What was that? Tapping into the prophetic. starting to tap into what God wants to do, what He wants to say, what's going to take place, what's even needed. Many times the messages I bring to you will be prophetic as far as what you need in your life in the days to come. I want to ask a question. How many have come into these services before? You've heard a message and gone, that really doesn't apply to me. And within a few days it did. That's the prophetic coming on the messages. And you have a right to live in that prophetic realm. And so many times we make the prophetic so spooky. You're like, thus saith the Lord, in 3 days. Learn to be alert and sensitive to knowing things that are going to take place. Request that gift and refuse to function in the gift of suspicion, right? And refuse to become a parking lot prophet. If you have a gift, bring it to me. We'll discuss it. We'll look at it. And I want you in these gifts, but we don't want you out there manifesting the false, leading people astray. You're causing confusion. Amen. Now, the prophetic gift is one that's listed as one that can be spoken out in a church service. Usually, you don't speak a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge in a church service unless it comes out as a prophecy. But if you get a prophetic word, and a lot of times what will happen is how this will take place. Nancy talked about it a few weeks ago. But you may be in praise and worship, because that seems to be where they hit me the most often. You're minding your own business in praise and worship, and all of a sudden God starts downloading a message to you. Amen, or a line of a message. Then, when there's an opening, the Spirit of God will be churning on you, or even advance, start moving on you, saying, when there's an opening, I want you to give that prophecy. Speak forth what I just spoken to you, what I just showed you. And it doesn't have to be a prediction. The Bible says prophecy is given for edification, admonition, and comfort. No, exhortation, edification, and comfort. None of them are bad. And God's message may be that He's stirring in you is, God, just show me He loves us. He loves you. He loves you with everlasting love. Well, that's a prophetic word from God. Prophecies in a church service don't always have to be futuristic. It's just something God's given you to declare. Do you follow me? Be open when He's moving on you on that. Be bold enough to step out. And if you miss it, and, you know, we catch it, we'll say very kindly later in private, you know, really, here's how you have to do this. But if you hit it, guess what? You're on your way to operating in new gifts of the Spirit. Be willing to be used of God in these giftings. Now, let's read on through the list. We've already talked about three of them. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. Now we're moving into the power gifts. Faith by the same Spirit. Now, we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word, right? You can build your own faith. When you come up a prayer line, I pray for you by faith. God, according to your Word, I have a right to lay hands on people and see them recover. By faith, I have a right to speak into their life. By faith, I access these gifts. But the gift of faith transcends, it goes far above your own natural, regular faith. Here's how to explain this. I remember the first time this gift really dropped on me strong. I had not been ministering. I was full-time ministry. Probably been in full-time ministry maybe a year. And I'd seen people healed of all kinds of different things. And usually, a lot of times when they'd be healed early on, I was more surprised than they were. Do you follow me? Like, Father, I decree, you know, this headache goes, and it go. And you go like, really? Praise God. Why are you learning to step into these gifts by faith? But I remember this lady came up in a church service and wanted me to pray for her. And she says, they just diagnosed me with sugar diabetes. Now, sugar diabetes is what we'd call one of the bigger ones. You know, that's not a headache. That's something people a lot of times are stuck with for a while unless something miraculous takes place. Because the pancreas isn't functioning properly, it needs to be restored, sometimes even brought back to life. She says, I've got sugar diabetes, they've diagnosed me. And all of a sudden, this gift dropped on me. I knew that I knew she was about to be healed. I didn't have a doubt. I wasn't questioning. And I knew it was a gift. I knew this wasn't me. I knew the gift of faith had just dropped on me because I knew when I touched her, the power of God was going to hit her and she'd be totally healed. So what did I do? I declared her healed. I put my hand on her, boom, the power of God slammed her into the wall. She went flying into the wall. And went back to the doctor, totally healed, totally gone. I love the gift of faith. And request God to give you that gift that'll go beyond your own level of faith. Because, see, there's some things God wants to minister into that you don't have faith for. So what he did is he's got a free gift he'll drop on you to let you still access it legally by faith without your own faith being at that level. And I've had that gift come on me many times over the years where I knew God was going to do something. Amen. And I was just having a flashback of that time the car air conditioner pulley quit on me. You've all heard that story, most of you anyway. I was driving back from Kansas, had my two daughters in the car. This would have been in 1984, October of 84. No, I'm sorry. October of 2004. They weren't born in 84. 13 years ago, I was driving back from Kansas in our Lincoln. Had an old Lincoln Continental, 1990. And we stop in Missouri. I'm 600 miles from home and the air conditioning compressor pulley locked up. Smoke's flying out from under the hood. I knew we couldn't drive a half a mile with that car and the belt survived. So I'm parked on the side of the road. Tried some different, called an auto parts place. They couldn't get the part for a week or whatever. It was all these things. And it was a major job anyway. I didn't have any money, had no money in the bank. My credit card was charged up. I had enough money to pay for gas to get home or one night in a hotel. That's how far we were financially stretched at the time. And I'm near tears. I don't know what to do. So I'm thinking, do I sell the car? Catch a bus home, rent a car, get home, just sell the car, get a couple hundred dollars, you know, rent a car to get home. What do I do? And we're parked in front of the hotel, or do I go in and get a room and sleep on it, you know, figure it out tomorrow? But I had church the next day. And it's getting dark, it's almost dark, and I'm praying. And my girls were outside the car, all of us, car shut off. They're looking at me like, what are we going to do, Dad? And I'm sitting there, let me pray. I'm praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I hear the voice go, say, drive home. Drive home. There's fire flying out of my hood. Smoke billowing out. I can't do anything. And God said, drive home. And I said, girls, God just spoke to me. He said, go home. Get in the car. We're going. It was a word of knowledge. That was a word of wisdom, actually. It was a word of wisdom. Combined with the miraculous showing up. I started the car. The pulley broke free, but there were no bearings left, so it was just throwing sparks out. Shh. I said, get in, we're going home. We hit the interstate and drove 600 miles home, fire flying out off that pulley the whole time. Shh. Had to be smoking red hot. We stopped one time to get gas. I didn't turn the car off. I pumped it as quick as I could. Told the girls to go to the restroom. I drove around circles around the pumps, keeping air over the thing, hoping it would help. But God had his hand on it. We drove all the way home. When we got home about 2 in the morning, I got out of the car. I jumped on the ground, hugged the ground. Thank you, God, you got me home. I praise God. Said, I'll never doubt you again. How many have done that one before? Wow, the word of wisdom came on the scene and got me home. That just dropped in me to mention that. Now, because that was not one I'd have came up with. That would have been bottom of the decision list. Right there. Because the last thing I wanted to do is be broke down on the interstate with two young kids. So, faith is supernatural faith coming on you. That all of a sudden you know it's going to take place. Amen? Now, however, remember we talked about some of these are in the Spirit? A lot of times to move into faith means you spent some time fasting, you spent some time in deep prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. You knew the place your spiritual tanks are filled. Usually these gifts kick in at that kind of a time. Amen. They can come on you anytime. They can come in times of desperation. A lot of times these are in the spirit. Then he says, in working of miracles. I'm sorry, healing. Gift of healing. Gifts of healings. Now we know we have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, right? Man, I get a single amen. You know, even a head nod hardly out of that one. We have the right to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover according to James chapter 5, right? And we know we have the right to decree the word over our lives and be healed. There are gifts of healings that accelerate your healing. A lot of times when a gift of healing kicks in, healings are instantaneous or accelerated. And we've seen in here every kind of sickness pretty much you can think of healed instantly. Infirmities and pain go away instantly. Sometimes it may take a day or two, sometimes maybe longer, but we see the power of God show up and do what the doctors can't do. Amen. And chances are almost everybody in here has experienced the gift of healing at one time or another. But it functions in different fashions. Some people, the gifts of healing operate by the laying on of hands. Other people can just speak into people's lives. Elaine usually will have a word of knowledge and then speak to the situation and God will do it. Then lay hands on them potentially. Some people, when they pray for healing, feel heat go down their arm. I think it was Norval Hayes used to talk about how he knew he was had that gift on him when his hand would heat up real hot. I've rarely ever had my hands heat up. But I feel the anointing in a tangible fashion wants to push me backwards. And when I lay hands on people for the anointing, often for healing or whatever it may, I will feel almost power surge down my arm. It's not like electricity. It's almost like a pressure wave go down my arm. So depending who it is, the gift may function in different fashions. Amen. Now, miracles. What's the difference between miracles and healings? Miracles transcend the possible. And miracles don't have to be with regard to healing. I believe it was the working of miracles that got me home in that car. Do you follow me? That transcended what naturally or normally was possible. And so a limb growing out, an eye forming in a socket, an ear that had no parts, reforming in somebody's ear. Gold, you know, teeth being filled with gold. Those are miracles. The lame walking where, you know, it was impossible. I prayed for a lady one time and steel disappeared out of her back. It may have happened more than once. What's that? It's a miracle. How about this raising the dead? How many know if somebody's dead, the doctors can do all they want? I'm not talking about, you know, shocking the heart when they just died. I'm talking about once they're dead, there's nothing the doctor can do to bring them back. They're dead. But God, through the work of miracles, and raise the dead. It's said when somebody's raised from the dead, three gifts actually function at the same time. Healing, miracles, and faith. The faith to raise the dead. Now, whether all three of those happened in Pastor Bob's case or not, I don't know. I know we were using all the faith that we had to raise him. And I know that I didn't feel that gift of faith come on me, although it may have been there because it was a desperate time. But I know God both raised him, which is a miracle, and healed his heart, which is a gift of healing. Another miracle, actually. He got back, they tested him, he had a brand new heart. Yesterday I was helping Leon. His helper didn't show up again. So that put me carrying shingles up on the roof. The bundles weigh 70 pounds apiece. When I was 18, 70 pounds, I could have carried for a while, it would have been okay. But at my age, 70 pounds up and down a ladder all day? All day. Could be a challenge. But yet, about 12 years ago, God gave me a brand new back. I told him, God, I will take care of this and I will not abuse it. I had to carry shingles because of the need, not because of the desire to show off. And I carried yesterday probably 1,800 pounds of shingles up on the roof, up big ladders across the roof at times, up other steps to get to the deck to go up the ladder for 15 hours. And never had a twinge of a problem. Why? God gave me a brand new back. I have the back of a young man now, I believe. You follow me? If I'll do what I said and take care of it, not try to be stupid with it. So I'm carrying 70-pound bundles of shingles all day. And then got in and wrote this morning's message out that I'd revelated on all day as I was carrying shingles. At 3 in the morning, God woke me up again for an hour and a half to write some more down, and the service this morning. That's the result of God's hand on you for healing and miracles. I don't know how I got into that, but that God gave me that brand new back. My back was so blown, there was nothing the doctors could have done. What do the doctors do with bad backs? They fuse them. They put steel rods in them. Pins in them, remove discs out of them, discs, right? Sometimes vertebrae. I sat on the couch for 3 days declaring I had a brand new back in agony, marching around before God gave me that brand new back, before I received it. And now 12 years later, I've not had a back issue since. That's a miracle. And God wants us to step into that miracle realm, not just behind a pulpit where you're praying for people. You can do it in your personal life, declare and decree that you receive a miracle. Praise the Lord. The next gift. Oh, I need to speed this up. Let's speed this up. We mentioned prophecy to another discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is not the gift of suspicion. It's not that you know a little bit and you're trying to add to it by guessing. Discernment is when you know there's something operating in somebody's life that is not obviously apparent outwardly. Amen. And I've had the Spirit of God come on me that I knew everything about a person's intentions and motivations at times. Be praying and the person come in, all of a sudden the Spirit goes on me and I can read right through them. You want to know somebody that functions very strongly? Apostle Callahan. He said when he's meeting somebody, he says, don't hand me a resume, let me look in their eyes. And he can read your character and what's behind the Spirit's functioning in you just by looking at you because he spends so much time in prayer. At times, the Spirit of God has come on me where I function in that heavily. But usually, it seems like that's one of the gifts that other people function in stronger than me at times. I don't want to confess it, but I've had people tell me because of your pastor's heart, God doesn't want you too strong in that gift because then you won't love on people as much as you need to. Amen? That could be. But in that gift, when that functions, there may be somebody come in and you'll know just by looking at them, there's homosexuality in their life. Or they've been sleeping around. Or they're lying or cheating on something. And it's not because you suspected or because, you know, they walked in like this. They looked as normal as anybody. But by the Spirit, you knew it. Amen? I believe it was William Branham that operated so strong in seeing people healed of cancer. He'd have conferences and multitudes be healed of cancer on the spot, delivered of tumors, everything gone. I asked him, how do you do that? And he says, what I do is I just pray in the Spirit, and then I start hearing the cancer demons cry out. And I know who they're coming from. And I command them to go. And then they're healed. See, discernment can be used, gift of discernment can be used in healing and miracles as well. But knowing the demonic spirits in operation in a person's life, even though with somebody's hidden motivations that are being, you know, disguised, you will know. Amen. And then it says, tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, we don't have time to go in depth in this. Pastor Jim's going to teach on this in a few weeks on the baptism of the Holy Spirit in tongues. But know that the baptism of the Spirit, where you pray in your prayer language, is not the same as giving a message in tongues. It's not the same as the gift of tongues and interpretation. They're different. One is a gift given for you to pray in your prayer language. You hear me up here all the time, almost every service, you hear me praying in the Spirit. I'm up here, you know, opening a service. That's not a message in tongues. That's my prayer language. However, if God moves on me, and I've moved in this before, and God gives me a tongue to speak forth, I may go, and give a message. And then somebody else or myself will be required to interpret that message. Because it says if there's no interpreter, let him keep quiet. You missed it. Amen. But even more, I've been used in the gift of interpreting tongues. In fact, I don't know how many people, guest speakers, have called me up that didn't even know me and say, I want you to interpret this tongue. I'm thinking, I don't want to. Amen. I don't have it yet. But it'll be by faith. So when God moves on you for tongues and interpretation, it's going to be in a public setting, most likely in a church setting, and you're going to feel a stirring within, and you know that you're to stand up and give a message in tongues. Amen? And then sit down. And then God, according to the Word, will move on somebody else to give the interpretation. If you're the one that's to give the interpretation, then you'll feel a stirring, and you'll know at least part of what that interpretation is. And you'll stand up and say, and thus saith the Lord, or whatever the interpretation is, and you decree what God showed you it meant. Amen. And I've been in many services where more than one person got the interpretation, and they matched. I've got them where I thought I was going to give an interpretation, and somebody stood up and gave the same thing before I got to it. Be willing to step forth and be used in these gifts. They are supposed to be in the end time church. I ask you to pray and ask God to use you. Then as He moves on you, don't be afraid to step out and do it. If you miss it, you're in a group of people that love you and will help you. Perfect it. Amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Father, seal the word in us, cause us to step into it. We thank You for the moving of the Spirit. And I ask You, Lord God, those that have a heart, as they seek You for these gifts, release them into this church, release them into this body. Cause to be a people that function in the gifts of the Corinthian church, but with order and without strife, without division. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hugs and necks and shalom of God.